Greenville, Louisiana, and their phone number is area code 318-442-7300. Join us now as we enter into a service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God.
Must do is that we must get serious about our change. We must get serious about our change. Change is something that you and I have in common. For each of us are comparing or uniquely different in some ways, but we are reaching out for something in our life that God has placed in us as a method of change. And so as we prepare for this traumatic change in our life, Solomon even said in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 and 2, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Everything that God may goes through a season of change. God made each one of us uniquely able to grow and to mature. And within that growing process, we develop into what God designed us to be. I was once young, but now I'm old. I have grown up and experienced the things in life that are uniquely different from one generation to another. As my parents grew up, they were experiencing things that I would never experience in some form. But I have been taught how to endure and to persevere in spite of the changes that impact us in such a drastic way. But God has radically changed each and every one of our life for the better. In spite of the difficulties, things that happened in us in life, and the things that happened to us in life, God is simply saying, I'm improving you, and I'm working things out for your good. What season are you in? And the greater question is, what season are we as a nation experiencing? Cell phones have changed. The internet has changed. Televisions have changed. Automobiles have changed. Now we have PDAs, DVDs, Blu-rays, and iPods. And I don't know what all that means. There have been changes in politics. There have been changes in the climate. There have been changes all around us. Even you and I have changed. You are not the same person that you were 10 years ago. I'm not the same person I was 17 years ago when I first came to Alexandria. Your parents have changed. Your friends have changed. Change is inevitable. In Acts, we see a change in a man called Saul. Saul experienced this change or this transformation on a road called Damascus. And he had an encounter with the Lord. What's your encounter like? And what's your Damascus road experience like? For each encounter and each Damascus road experience is uniquely different because God has so designated that way. We don't all reach the Lord at the same time, nor our level of spirituality at the same time. Why? Because we are all uniquely different, but a change is coming. A change is coming. And when Saul had this experience with the Lord on the Damascus road, he was on his way to create havoc upon the Christian body, the early church. The church was experiencing persecution simply because they believed in Christ Jesus. And the moment you start believing is the moment you will start experiencing some form of persecution, because you change from the way you were to what the Lord wants you to be. Isn't it ironic that every time you change, the enemy gets busy? Anytime your level of spirituality begin to grow, the enemy start knocking on your door. Remember what you did yesterday and last year? He wants to hold you right where you are and never let go. And he tries to trap you in such a way that you will always remember your past. But the Lord isn't concerned about your past. He's concerned about your future. And so Saul was asked the question, the Lord says, why do you persecute me? And what that implies is that when a person touches one who belongs to the Lord in a negative way, you are touching or impacting the Lord in a negative way. Oh, there it is. When a person touches one of the anointed of the Lord, when a person touches one of the believers of the Lord in a negative way, you are literally touching and literally fighting with the Lord. And what's ironic is that we don't even know who we're fighting. We sometimes think we're fighting with a pastor or the assistant pastor or chairman of the board. But anytime you start rebelling and fussing and fighting, it ain't about them. It's about God that you're fighting with. Leaders have been given the responsibility from the Lord to proclaim his word. And some people say, you were talking about me. I don't know your story, but the Lord does. And so when a pastor starts proclaiming the word in an unusual way and it hits you somehow, it's not the pastor that you ought to be mad with. Because I don't know your stuff. It's the Lord. And the Lord is simply saying, when you start arguing against my anointed, you're really fighting against me, because I'm the one that gave the anointing and the word to him. Notice that Jesus made no distinction between him and his church. Jesus did not say, why are you persecuting my church? He said, why are you persecuting me? This church, he said, upon this rock I will build my church. But he said to Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you fighting against me? So many times we're fighting against God, but we're hitting God's anointed, God's chosen. Have you heard people say that they don't go to church because of the attitudes of the people in the church? The Lord takes every man or woman the way they are. We came into this church with some flaws. Markel, we came into this church all messed up. But one day we got a conversion, we got a change. And we were no longer the same person that we used to be. And Markel, it doesn't happen overnight. It's a coming process, that we go from one stage to the next. You grow and we grow spiritually every day that we live, because our faith is increased by the things that we experience in life. Our trials and our testimonies is a portion of those things that we are going through in life, and just expected in life, because it's just a reality. So the Lord is simply saying, I'm getting you ready for a change. Jesus is asking the question, why then are you persecuting me? Because I am the maker, the creator, the sustainer of all things. I am building my church. You got to get this. I get metamorphosis all the time, a revelation rather. Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. If you are building something, that means it's in the process of construction. It's an unfinished product. I'm building present tense my church for the future. So the church is still being built. It's being built there because some folks out there have not experienced the church. And so the Lord says, I'm building, I'm gathering. You know, when you build something, you gather wood and nails and you gather all of the things you needed for shingles to put the church together, to put a building together. An unfinished product is no good until it's completed. And so what the Lord is saying, upon this rock, I'm building my church. The church was future. The church was being established. But that the church had a lot to do with what God's plan was. And so the Lord is building something. It's not completed. Our area of the church may be completed, while another area of the church may be still under construction. There may be some powerful prayer warriors over here, but there can be some babes in Christ over here. And so the Lord is simply saying, teach them, preach them, show the word so that they can learn and grow and mature and develop into what I want the real church to look like, because we're headed to a place far different than this place. And now I understand why Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. He's building it. When the church is completed, the church will be perfected, holy and righteous. Right now, we got stuff in our life that still keep us from being perfected. You know those little thoughts that you thought when you came in? How come everybody ain't here yet? The Lord knows who he wants, when he wants them, and where he wants them. And so we are all being perfected. We are all growing, and we won't all get there at the same time. Because to everything there is a season and a time. It wasn't an accident that Jesus met Saul at that moment. Look at what it says. Who are you, Lord? Saul immediately acknowledged him as Lord, Yahweh Adonai, Jehovah, God Almighty. To the atheist, though, he is not Lord, but they will understand that one day he is Lord. To the agnostics, they don't acknowledge him as Lord, but one day the agnostics will acknowledge him as Lord. To the humanists, they don't acknowledge him as Lord, but one day they will acknowledge him at Lord, for as Lord, for every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I don't care how much money billionaires have, they will have to cross his path and acknowledge him as Lord. And the Lord says, I am Jesus whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Jesus used his name. It was a name that Saul hated. In Romans 14:11, it states, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess God. In getting Saul's attention, Saul fell to the earth and was knocked to his knees. When we as believers surrender to him, we humble ourselves at his feet. We bow.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show.
Please believe that.
Blessed and highly flavored.
Can you repeat that?
We got the flavor for Wade Hampton.
isn't holding you.